Again, Lord, prayer is talking to you, depending on you, and looking to communicate with you and to hear from you. So give us the ears to hear how we can get closer to you. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 17, maybe up to 21, we'll see. However, to build along what I believe the Lord is showing us all is worship, is to have a heart after God's heart. We saw that play yesterday. Mike talked about it. He began, that is David, with his harp in the wilderness tending sheep. And it was there that he developed a communication with the Lord. And the Lord heard him, because when the Lord sent Nathan the prophet, or was it Samuel? I think it was Samuel. He said to him, is there anyone else? And he says, yeah, I got a young little chipper in the wilderness, but who is he? But you saw God anointed him to be the next king, and he didn't have any advertisement. He didn't have a strong physique like his brothers, but God saw his heart. He had a heart for God. And the Lord said, I'm looking for someone whose heart is after me. And it's the same today. There's no difference. No difference at all. Why did God create man in the first place? He created him to have fellowship, to have love, to express his love towards us so we could express it back to him. But, of course, there's a free will involved in all of that. So according to what we've seen yesterday in that play, as time went on, he got kind of burnt out, so it seemed. This was the impression they gave. But when it was the time for the kings to go out to battle, he stayed back, and he didn't go. And that's when he saw Bathsheba, and that's when he sinned adultery and murder by having her husband killed, Uriah. And a year went by, and he was in torment for that year. And then in Psalm 51 is when Samuel came to him and gave him the story about someone who was very rich and he had plenty of sheep. And this rich person had company that day. And so instead of taking one of his own sheep to slaughter, he went to this one poor person who only had one sheep. And he said, give me your sheep. And so he slaughtered that sheep to feed his company. And David was all crazy, upset. Ah, that man should be killed. And Samuel turned around. You're the man. You took the one wife of this man Uriah, and you had all of this, and if it wasn't enough, I would have given you more. And it was a year that he suffered during that whole year of holding that sin in, and he missed God's presence. And so in Psalm 51, here's what he says. He says, against you, you only I have sinned. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me, and restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. So he repented, and God did heal him. He suffered the consequence years later through his son Absalom. But he said, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me. You see, sin keeps God's fellowship out of your life. You may be born again, but sin will keep you from experiencing his love and the connection with him. In fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 59, verse 2, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear you. So what keeps me from being filled with the Spirit? Because that's the title, to be continuously filled with the Spirit. It is sin, and some sins are more identifiable than others. Some could be passive, some could be aggressive. It could be the sin of just non-commission, just holding back. However, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us all sins. 1 John tells us that I'm writing these things to you so you do not sin. But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus. So that's the good news. So going into chapter 5 of Ephesians, he's going to expound on what we once were and what we are now. And we're to walk in that spirit of what we are now. The first chapter that we talked about in Ephesians was the wealth that God has given us. It tells us that we believed and he sealed us with the Holy Spirit. Sealing means ownership. Chapter 2 was he saved us by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. And it was because of his great love, and he has prepared good works for us to walk in the future once you get saved. In chapter 3, Paul got a revelation that the Jewish nation and the Gentile nations would become one body, the body of Christ, not separate entities. And we apply that to our lives. There's neither Jew, Greek, slave, rich, poor, black, white. That's no difference. We're all in the body of Christ. Amen? A body doesn't have a white arm, a black arm, a green face, or rich, poor. It's one body. And that body is Jesus Christ. And you're a part of that, and I'm a part of that. So in chapter 4, he talks about the unity of this body, how God has given everyone a different gift to function correctly so that the body can work on all 8 cylinders, so that you could have an engine moving or a body moving without a crippled leg or a bad hand, or the eyes aren't looking, the ears aren't listening, the tongue isn't expressing. So he's given all of us this. This is our wealth in Christ. And so now he says in chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, therefore, because of all of this that you have, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself for us. Let's stop there for a moment. How did Christ love us? He gave himself up for us. In fact, it tells us in 1 John 3:16, we know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So when it says that we ought to imitate God's love as beloved children and walk in the love just as he loved you, that means it's a sacrificial love. That means it's me laying down my life for you and you laying down your life for me. That's God's love. That's what we have to imitate. That's what we have to shoot for as a goal. And I know it's his spirit that's going to help us, because all of us fall short. But nevertheless, we should never say, I can't do it. We should rather say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's, I guess you could say, the trick is faith. It's knowing that you can't, but knowing that he can. And that means he'll give it. Amen? So the second part of that scripture verse, it says, after he loving us and gave himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrance or as a fragrant aroma. In the Old Testament, the incense was given as a fragrant aroma to the Lord. One fragrant aroma of incense was prayer. It tells us that prayer is in Psalm 141:2, may my prayer be counted as incense before you, the lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. So a sacrifice means it cost you something. To be a fragrant aroma of Christ. And as I was thinking about that, the thoughts came to my mind of the story in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Peter just healed this man who was crippled by the temple all his life. Silver and gold I have none, but in the name of Jesus, rise and walk and take up your cot and go. And so the Sanhedrin and the different leaders called him on the carpet and said, what are you doing? You know, and Peter, it says, under the power of the Holy Spirit, spoke to them. And without going into the details, you could read it. They responded by saying this. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize, here it is, having been with Jesus. You see the fragrance aroma? They started recognizing that aroma, that fragrance, that they were with Jesus, because they had this boldness. They had this confidence. They had the anointing of God. And that's how it is with us. When we follow the Lord, we should be having his fragrance. But if we're not devoting ourselves to him, if we're not in his presence, you're going to stink. but not of him. But if you're in his presence, his character starts coming into you. His spirit is more powerful in you. And when you walk around or whatever situation you're in, people are going to smell that. And say, hey, something's different. My wife told me the story the other day when she was first as a nurse up in California when she was 22. This head honcho said to her when she started, what is it about you? There's something different about you. And she gave them the gospel. And then and she was Jewish. And then at this other job of location where she was working, she's retired, another Jewish woman said, what is it about you? What's different about you? And she gave them Jesus. It was the fragrance. It was her attitude. It was the way she did things. It was the way she held herself. People notice this. Some people have the chutzpah to ask you, hey, what's different about you? Others just say, ah, he's a goody-goody. But there are those that God has called and who are working on. But if we are spending time with Jesus in our devotional, in our prayers, in our singing with him, whatever it may be, you're going to have the fragrance of Jesus, and you're going to have the power of Jesus too. And people may not be able to identify it. They're going to say, man, there's something different about him or her. And you might have an opportunity to say something, but maybe not. But the idea is we want to have the aroma of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him. In every place, for we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, an aroma from death to death. To another, an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? Later on, he says it's the Spirit. It's the new covenant that we are speaking about. His grace, that's who's adequate. No one is adequate to carry the gospel. No one's pure enough. But his grace has given you that freedom now. His righteousness is your righteousness. His holiness is your holiness. And his spirit is in you. But notice it says, to some, it's going to be an aroma of death. Oh, conviction. I don't want that. Get away. Darkness wants to stay dark. Light comes. Scatter. But to others, it's the aroma of life. Wow, you got hope. You're giving me hope. You're giving me a vision. You're giving me something more than what this world is offering me. You're giving me eternity and Jesus and forgiveness of sin and no shame. And wow, that's life for some. But to others, it's death. But the fragrance is important. You ever been around someone who's got too much cologne on? Or perfume, ladies. Huh? Goes both ways. It's like, oh, man, you're a little saturated. We could get that way, too, with Christ, you know? Yeah, I'm born again. Yeah. You know, repent, you sinner. That's a little too much cologne. A little too much of perfume. However, when you go into a room and someone was in that room, your wife or someone or whoever it may be, and you could still smell the fragrance. Oh, yeah. Joey was here. Well, my wife was here. You know, you could still smell that delicate fragrance. And I believe that's what we are to represent wherever we go. We leave behind us a fragrance of Jesus. People will remember your words. People will remember your actions, your attitude. And it's a sacrifice, but it's smelling sweet to the Lord. And that's who we're out to please. When David sinned, he said, to you alone I sinned. See, that's the first step. We may hurt other people, and it's important to get that right. But the first person you need to get right with is God. Ask for forgiveness to God, because it's him you first sinned against, and then go to your brother or sister, whoever it may be, ask for forgiveness. But I like that because it gives you the responsibility to have love. He gives you the choice to ask for forgiveness, repentance. It humbles us because you can't come to God in pride. You got to come on his terms. Can I get an amen? And that's where it breaks us, because we want to come to God on our terms. I want to come only because I feel like coming, rather than it's the right thing to do. Can I get an amen? So if you really want the Lord, you have to make him superior. You have to make his word on top shelf and say, it's not according to my word, it's according to your word, Lord. And that's where lordship comes in, right? He's God, he's Savior, but he also has to be the Lord. Now, I like these thoughts because it says, he always leads us in triumph, 2 Corinthians again, in Christ. Always in triumph. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Romans 8:37. That's the foundation. Through him who loved us. We love because he first loved us. If I don't have an understanding of his grace and his love on my life, I can't go farther than my own works. He loves me because I've been a good boy. He loves me because I'm excellent. Well, that's very limited. He loves you even while you were at your worst. And if he loved me at my worst, then he must really love me. So we overwhelmingly conquer through Christ who loved us and still does. And I like this second one, and we'll move on. It says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. It's your faith. Don't wait for your feelings. Understand that God is pleased with faith. It's a smelling aroma with him. Is your faith by going forward without waiting for your feelings. So there are sacrifices that we could give that are very sweet smelling to God. And that's who we want to please. Let me just name one. I named that first one. May my prayer be counted as incense before you. Prayer. Lifting up of my hands as an evening offering. And then there was the prayer, believe it or not, of giving. In Philippians 4:18, it tells us, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance, and I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus, it goes on to say. So Paul was a missionary. And, of course, a missionary had to eat. So in the church of Philippi, they took an offering and they gave it to Epaphroditus to give it to Paul. And Paul wrote back and said, hey, I received it. Thank you. I'm amply supplied. It's a sweet-smelling offering to God. God sees you giving. So when you give to anyone in the name of the Lord, you're really giving to the Lord. And it's a sweet smell, a sweet aroma to the Lord. And it's very pleasing in him, besides other ways of pleasing him. So now in verses 3 to 7, it says, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk and coarse jesting. You know, those innuendo jokes, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather of giving thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral, impure persons or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be a partaker with them. So he's clearly saying here, as he said in other scriptures, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6:9, it talks about different lifestyles that will, if practiced, will not inherit the kingdom of God. So he said in this particular verse, be careful that you don't get deceived into thinking when people call bad good or good bad, don't start swallowing that. Because be not deceived, liars, fornicators, covetous, drunkards, and it goes on and on. And, you know, homosexuals, and I mean, it just goes on. And I think we could all fit into one of those categories. But the key is you don't practice it. You don't want to live in it. There are times when you may struggle and you may fall. But as it's been said, when a sheep falls into the pig pen, it doesn't stay there. It wants to get out. But when a pig goes into a pig pen, it does the backstroke. It wants to stay in it. So if you're saved, you don't want to stay in that sin. If you're not saved and you're not being convicted about certain things, then you got to say, wow, am I really saved? You got to examine yourself. Because there is a standard. However, the good news is in 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said this, "For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom, not what, but whom a person I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day." Have you entrusted Jesus to your soul? I am confident, Paul said, that he is able to guard it. He's the shepherd. And if you belong to Christ, he will guard your spirit and he will get you to heaven. But now the second part of that in verse 13 says, "Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, and guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us the treasure which has been entrusted to you." So God's commitment to you is one thing, but you have to guard that too. You see, that's the mystery of being born again. I'll give you an example. James says this, "Is a man saved by faith alone?" Well, yeah, you just come to the altar. But he said no. He said, "Faith without works is dead." He said, "You show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." So faith is going to have genuine works to show that you are born again. So faith, by just confessing, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ," that's how it starts. But as time goes on, you'll find out, was it an emotional yes? Was it just a temporary one where you had no root, and when the fires came, you got? Or was it where the riches of the world strangled it out when you first came to God? Right? Now, he'll give you perseverance. He will. However, there is a standard that's trying to get ripped down of being a Christian. God will get us to heaven, and he will sanctify us. But you too have to be aware and not just go with the driftwood. You have a responsibility, as I do, to say no to certain things or say, "God, I need your grace. I need help in this area." Or, "God, forgive me of my sin. I confess my sin." And if you're a Christian, you should be feeling a distance from the Lord if we're starting to practice it a little bit more often than not. You're not going to be feeling the presence. You're not going to be having fellowship with the saints because they're walking in light. And you're like in the shade. So it's important to look at my heart and say, "Lord, is there something? If there is, Father, please show me and get me out of this mess, because I want to worship you again. I want to sit at your feet and love on you and experience your love and your joy, the joy of your salvation." That's what David prayed. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If we confess, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So now he continues by saying in verses 8 to 11, "Why, you were formerly of darkness." Do you remember that? Do you remember how you used to live? I was just thinking about that this morning. Where God has taken me from. I'm thinking about when I was a kid. When I was in parochial school, when the nuns used to smack you. That's how far back it goes. But I remember this. God had his hand on me during that time, because as a young man, you don't know. I'm running around to be a people pleaser. I want to be one of my friends. I want to hang out with them. And they're doing devilish things. And I started learning these devilish things. And I look back, I said, man, I should have been dead so many different times. Some of the younger generation kids, they died. I remember this one guy, Teddy Chizinski, Polish fella, and he was well-liked, you know, and everyone liked him and everything. And at that point, and sad to say, we were sniffing glue. Yeah, I don't know, maybe I was 12 years old. And we would go to this location on top of a factory roof. And he got a buzz, whatever it was, and he walked right off the roof and died. Boom. That was it. Young man. That could have been me. Or, you know, crazy stuff. I don't want to get into all the details, but God had his hand on me. And he had his hand on you for a plan and a purpose because he loves you. But there comes a point in time for all people where that line is then cut off. And he knows that they're not coming. And they're reprobate. You know, they don't know it, but they're living in hell already. They just don't know it. That's why you can never know when that person has crossed that line. But I sure, if I'm that person, I don't want to say I'm close enough. I want to make sure I'm saved. And that's the whole key of the gospel. Make sure that you belong to Jesus Christ. So he says here, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. That's who you are. For the fruit of light, and he gives us a picture here, it consists of all gentleness, righteousness, and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, and do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Now, it doesn't mean you go around with a finger, a crooked finger, hey, I'm exposing you, but have redemptive exposure. In other words, you don't have to laugh at the dirt. You don't have to be a participant of going along with the crowd. Separate yourself. That, to me, is exposing, because then they might, hey, why aren't you coming? Why aren't you hanging out? Why aren't you? Well, because, you know, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't need that stuff anymore. So you're exposing it in a redemptive way, not sounding like you're self-righteous. But trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. One thing that pleases the Lord, and I mentioned it earlier, well, it's sacrifices, it's offerings, absolutely. But it's faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible. That is your free will. That is your choice. So if I want to please God, he says here, always trying to learn, Lord, what pleases you? And he'll just say to you, faith pleases me. Step out in faith. So we're learning how to do that. It's not always easy. But you learn eventually to do it more often than not do it. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What pleases the Lord? Well, walk in the light. You're the light now. Walk in truth, gentleness. Walk in redemptive exposure. Walk away from sin. Keep your light shining so that men may see it and women may see it and say, wow, there's something different about that person. What is it, pal? Well, it's Jesus. He's changed my life. Jesus said, he who sent me is with me, and he has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. Always. Verses 12 through 14. Now, in these verses here, he continues to speak to the church, but he also puts out a word of those who don't belong to him. Listen to this. For it is disgraceful even to speak of things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed to the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. And for this reason I say, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So he's giving here a word. He's not speaking to the church. He's saying here, those who are dead in sin. Arise, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. He's not saying here that a Christian is dead, but he's saying here what the gospel is about. And here he's going to say here, don't be unwise, but use your time wisely and not foolishly. What? To win the lost and to be aware that you too can fall back if you're not guarding my word in your heart. Let's follow that thought. In verse 15, 16, because he says, therefore, okay, that means what he just said, you apply for this. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Evangelize. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, let's break it down a little bit. What is the will of the Lord? The scriptures tells us very clearly. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, you abstain from sexual immorality. That's one thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So what is the will of God? The will of God that none should perish, but that all would come to repentance in Peter. So God's will is very clear. We don't have to say, God, what is your will? He knows. He says it very clearly in so many other ways. So when he says here to know what the will of God, so then do not be foolish. What came to my mind was the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish, 5 were unwise. The 5 that were unwise weren't really preparing to meet the Lord. They didn't have an extra oil. The other 5 had extra oil because they were really prepared to meet the groom when he came. They would be the 10 virgins, right? They weren't the bride, but they were going to be in a party of the bride. So the unwise ones weren't saved. They came with the crowd. They hung out with the 5 virgins, but they weren't saved. And I believe that's the message there, because at the end of it, when they go knocking after they get the oil, he says, depart from me, I don't know you. Anytime you hear God says, I don't know you, he's talking to the lost. Remember the story in Matthew? Lord, Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name, do miracles and da-da-da? And Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I don't know you. So there is a practicing of sin where a person may think it's okay, but God is saying it's not okay. Confess it, get healed, come back into my presence. You're my son, you're my daughter, I love you, come on. But then on the other hand, if a person continues that, it may show that they really don't belong to him. It wasn't a genuine faith. Without works, it's dead. And I'll give you one scripture on that, and then we'll move on quickly. In Revelation 3, verses 1 through 4, this is important. Listen to this. To the angel of the church of Sardis write, he who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. Their time was coming to an end. For I have not found your deeds completed in my sight. Faith without works is not completed. See? You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith and grace. Case closed. Get the security of the Lord. But if you don't have it, you must get it. Say, Lord, let your spirit bear witness with my spirit that I belong to you. Romans tells us that. So he says this, wake up, strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. So anytime you see in Thessalonians, a thief is for the unbeliever, a person who's sleeping in the darkness. They're not awake. But you are not in the darkness. You're awake. You have the Holy Spirit in you. We're looking for his return. But later on, he says, you know, that those have soiled their garments. And then with those who didn't soil their garments. And he promised them who didn't soil it, I will not erase your name from the book of life. He's given them a promise. Not that your name can be erased, because they were already dead. Their name wasn't even in the book of life. Those who didn't repent in Sardis. So I don't have to believe or think that now he could erase their names, because their names were never in. But he gave assurance to the people who had Christ. He said, I assure you, your name will not be erased. Have that confidence when you belong to him. But the key was, I know you have a name. I'm a Christian. Yeah, I gave my heart to the Lord. However, are we confessing if there needs to be? Because he's willing more than ever before. I would rather make sure, because the deal is this. Sin is ugly, and it takes me out of the love of God. It takes me out of the loving people. It makes me miserable. I'm no longer grateful. I'm no longer thankful. I'm no longer worshiping God. I'm cranky. And so when you hear your behavior changing, ask yourself a question. Am I walking in the Spirit, or have I been walking in the flesh? Have I been spending time with the Lord, devoting my heart, a heart after God, as we were talking about that all day today? Is worship is power. Worship, it comes when you are filled with the Spirit. That's one of the evidences. So let's go on. So he says here in verse 18, don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Dissipation is emptiness. It's waste. It's useless. Don't get drunk with wine. That's useless. But be, and this word filled actually means continuously filled. Be continuously filled with the Spirit. So there's a saying out there that goes, one baptism into the body of Christ, one baptism, you get the Spirit of God, but there's many infillings. And you see that throughout the Scripture. The Spirit of God came on Paul, came on Peter, and they did miracles. They spoke boldly. They prophesied. It's when they were filled again with the Spirit, not just one time. So if you've had an experience for the Lord, don't think, well, that's the end of the story. We should always want to have more. Can I get a real amen to that? I don't know. Why else would I want, why do I want God? Because the devil wants me. That's for sure. And he wants to rip your heart out. He wants to destroy your family, your kids. He wants to destroy your testimony. But greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Oh, yeah, there's a battle. Remember, the wealth in Christ, the walk in Christ, and next week it'll be the warfare that we have, because there is an enemy. But you and I have to walk by faith and make good decisions to keep on and humble ourselves. The greatest asset you could ever have, hear me out, this is important. I believe it's humility. I believe it's humbleness. Why is that? Humbleness is not saying, oh, I'm so humble, I'm humble, I'm humble, humble, humble. Humble is knowing that in and of yourself, there is no goodness. But in Christ, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm confident, not in myself. I'm confident knowing that I could fall just as easily as anyone else. David in the play yesterday proved that. He fell just like Saul fell. He started holding on. He overworked himself. He didn't go out to battle anymore. He was tired, and he started meandering around, and he fell into sin. And that could happen to you and me at any time. Are you working too much? You going to school too much? Are you in church, doing too many things in church? I think we're not doing enough, but that's another story. But there are things where, we just think, hey, and yet we don't see that as a Martha. Get down and see it as, I need Mary. I need to sit at the feet of Jesus, and I need to be refreshed. I need to come into communion with the Lord. I need to sing again. Can I get an amen? Amen. Singing is one of the greatest assets you could have. Now, so 19:21, speaking to one another. Okay, here's a description One of the descriptions, partial description of being filled with the Spirit. So how do I know if I'm filled with the Spirit? Okay, here you go. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So the first thing is, you're speaking to one another. You're not out for yourself. I'm here to edify you. You're here to edify. We're here to speak to each other. Can I get an amen? Not to be private citizens in the body of Christ. We're here to be public citizens. We're here to love one another, exhort one another in psalms and hymns. That means the word of God, period. Secondly, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. A Spirit-filled person is going to be singing. A Spirit-filled person is going to be making melody in his heart or her heart to the Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And it's going to come out. That's what we want. It's not like, oh, that's for him. He can sing. I can't. No. Do you think the Lord's impressed with our singing? He's impressed with your heart. If you sing out of tune, that's okay. Go in the back and sing. But we have to sing. We want to sing to the Lord and just let him feel your heart. Get out of yourself. Amen? Get out of yourself. I don't like myself. He keeps me down. Lord, set me free. Now, so you're speaking the word, you're singing to the Lord, making melody to the Lord, always giving thanks. Remember I said the will of God is to give thanks, to rejoice always, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. I don't want to be it's sunny today. Yeah, but tomorrow it's going to rain, you know. Hey, enjoy the sun. God, thank you for the sun. Be thankful for what he gives us. So it says, give thanks in all things in the name of the Lord of Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And here's the last one. And be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. Yield to one another. Be humble to each other. Hey, I was here first. Oh, that's my chair. I was sitting there. Go to the back. If you go to the back, God will exalt you. If you want to stay in the front, guess what? You're going to wind up going to the back. That's how the Lord humbles us if we don't humble ourselves. So it says to yield to one another in the fear of the Lord. It's a great thing. And hey, listen, we're all the same. We all have that flesh. That flesh is to be number one. You know, an acronym that I use for sin, S-I-N, S is self, I is independent, N is nature. Self-independent nature. That's sin. It's not following God's nature. It's my own will. It's my own way. It's my own Frank Sinatra. You know, I've done it my way. I don't know where he is now, but I'd rather do it God's way. Okay, so we're speaking his word to one another, singing from our hearts to the Lord. Be grateful and thankful, and yield humbly towards one another. Here's a couple more examples of being Spirit-filled and what it looks like. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So when you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be speaking the word of God with boldness. Remember I told you earlier in Acts 4? When the Pharisees brought Peter and John in, they said, we recognize they have been walking with Jesus because they had the boldness. They had the scriptures. They were right there. They were filled with the Spirit. So that's another way of recognizing someone being filled with the Spirit. Another way is 1 Corinthians 13:7. But to each one in the body of Christ is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each one of us has a gift for the common good that has been given to you by the Holy Spirit. Without going into all the gifts and everything, each one of us, God has given us diversity to be strong, powerful in the word of the Lord and towards each other. We have to exercise it, though. You exercise it by faith. Brother Angelo, he exercised a word from the Lord. It was a scripture that God put on his heart. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. He felt God putting things on his heart. So it wasn't like out of order. It wasn't like, you know, he's like we had that one person that came up that day, and I got to say something from the Lord, and we didn't know who he was. I said, get out of here, sit down. You know, you can't be doing this. And, you know, he left, and they talked to him nice and quietly and tried to refrain him from sounding off. He was a little tipsy, not drunk, but he was off. But anyway, examine everything. If someone gives a prophetic word, I welcome it. I will examine it. We will examine it. And if it's of the Lord, we'll say amen. And if it isn't, then, you know, very gently like or whatever, okay, we'll move on. Because at least a person is exercising. They're learning. They're stretching themselves rather than bing, 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 this is how it is. And again, I don't endorse swinging from the lights. You know, yeah, you know, freedom in the Lord. You know, there's got to be order, right? There has to be order. But don't let order quench the spirit either, right? Amen. So that's it. Okay. The last point that I want to make before we have communion, the joy, Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. They read the law and they were weeping. Oh. When you just look at your failures, you're going to weep. You got to look at the joy of your salvation. What did Jesus do for you? He made you a citizen of heaven. He made you a son and a daughter of Jesus Christ. You're his brother. He died for you. He died for me. He's given you the Holy Spirit. He has sealed you, ownership. You belong to him. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus because of his love. I remind myself, I could look under every rock in my life and see the worms. And so can you. And sometimes we think, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. No, you're not. If the Holy Spirit puts some light on an area of your life, you bet. Confess it. But don't be looking, because if you keep looking, you're going to keep finding. Is there anyone who is so pure in everything they do? No. But you got to say, God, you know my heart. Examine my heart. If it is, help me, because I'm acting in faith. And that's how we love, because we're not loving for me. We're loving for him. We're loving for others. We want others to get saved. We want others to be built up. We want to see anyone fall away from the Lord. But we have to do our part. The time is short. Understand, he said, the will of the Lord. I don't know how much time we all have. Everyone has a different time. God has it. But I do know this. I want my light to shine. I don't want it to go dim. I don't want it to go out. And I believe that's how all of us here too. We want to shine bright right to the end. Maybe the rapture. But how do I do that? It's called L-O-V-E. Love and commitment and faith. The greatest of these is love. Jesus did this. He sent out his apostles and they came back and they were saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us. And he said, hey, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the book of life, that you're saved. And it goes on to say, and listen to this. Now, at that very time, Jesus rejoiced greatly in the Holy Spirit. Greatly in the Holy Spirit. Someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit is going to be rejoicing. What did he rejoice in? He rejoiced in this. Listen. And said this, I praise you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. The simple gospel. He said, you didn't reveal it to the wise and intelligent. Yeah, I figured this out. This is how you get saved. Unless you become like a child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Childlike faith. And Jesus says, man, that's it, Lord. You know, that blows my mind. That you're so wise, that you have made it so available for just a childlike faith. To say, Lord, I believe you. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you're faithful to complete what you have begun in me. And so today, as we receive communion, different times examine yourself. If you blew it, ask God for forgiveness. Get back up. Don't stay there. He's not finished with you. But we have to guard the standard that he's given us of right and wrong, black and white. Not take for granted, yeah, I'm saved, faith, that's it. No, there has to be a change in my life, and it will come, guaranteed. Don't look for change and say, well, did I change? Am I saved? Did I change enough? Faith, God will take care of that. You just keep your heart humble and say, Lord, I want to follow you all the days of my life and stay committed. And when the time comes to separate you, just say, no, I'm choosing to follow the Lord. So with every head bowed, Matthew will come up. I want to ask all the time, the greatest gift that any of us could ever have is the gift of forgiveness of sin. It's a gift, and it comes by you asking Jesus into your heart to forgive you of your sins. Now, if someone here has never done that before,